Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the sermon title for today? Come, Lord Jesus, come. It's based on the epistle reading that Everett McKenzie read for us, especially these verses from Revelation 22. Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming soon. And let the one who hears say, come. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." I invite you to turn your worship folder over and find upon it the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Come, Lord Jesus, come. The text promises us today that Jesus is coming back, and with him, he'll bring the end of this sinful world and the beginning of eternity with him in heaven. And St. John's response in the book of Revelation is a simple prayer. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Perhaps you've spoken that prayer before in church. Perhaps you've said it on occasion. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. I am fed up with the pains and disappointments and frustrations of this world. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Usher in your kingdom and bring me home to you in heaven. I can remember a time when I was a student at the seminary in St. Louis and I prayed that prayer. It was just before the end of the spring term. I had more schoolwork to do than I could possibly get done. I had 3 20-page papers to finish and 3 major exams to take. And so that evening, I did the only logical thing I could think of. A buddy and I skipped out and went to a St. Louis Cardinals Major League Baseball game. When I got back to my room that night, quite late, I was greeted with a stack of books and papers and things to do. So I prayed the only logical prayer I could think of. Jesus, I wish that you would come back soon. And if you can make it back before Monday when all these things are due, I sure would appreciate it. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. We've all had times like that and likely some much more difficult. Life gets hard for one reason or another. And then we remember that Jesus said he will come back and bring an end to all pain and suffering. He will come back to stop all tears and grief. He will bring the dead out of their graves and give them glorified bodies, never again to be subjected to disease or death or decay. Oh, it'll be incredible that day when Jesus returns. And often we wish he would come back sooner or later, so we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And did you know that the truth, that the church throughout all ages has prayed this prayer? Yes, it has. Amen, come, Lord Jesus, is actually basically the last verse of the entire Holy Bible. This prayer comprises basically the last words of Scripture. This prayer expresses the hopes of God's people for thousands of years, beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden. This prayer continues to be prayed by believers all over the world today. Come, Lord Jesus. Why? 2 basic reasons. It's on your handout. First, we want Jesus to come back because it's not safe here. And secondly, we want him to come back because we want to go home. Let's look at those 2 reasons. We pray this prayer because it's not safe here. Let me quit wasting your time on a Sunday morning. Let's don't sugarcoat reality. This world is an evil place. And it will get worse before it gets better. In the reading from Revelation 22, just before the Come Quickly, Lord Jesus prayer, listen to what St. John wrote about his day. outside are the dogs and sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Revelation 22:15. And let's look around our world today. It's not safe here. In preparing for this sermon, I researched some newspaper articles. I just picked out four. A 37-year-old woman is arrested with $200,000 of drugs in her home. She's a drug dealer who uses her two young children to traffic the illegal drugs out of her house so she won't get caught. A city is beginning a media-wide blitz to save unwanted babies. It seems in this major city, a number of parents are abandoning their newborns in trash bins and alleys and parks. The media blitz across the radio and TV declare that people will not do jail time or be charged with abandonment if they just leave their babies in a safe location. Administrators in a city high school forbid the Gideon Society for giving away copies of the Bible in their school. But the same administrators install condom machines in both the boys' and the girls' washrooms to promote safe sex. Police interview 100 students from a small college where a 19-year-old first-year student was stabbed to death in her own dorm room. When interviewed, the parents said they sent their child to this small school because of their fear of a big university. Look around at our world today. It's not safe here. And it's not a safe place for the church either. It's not a safe place for God's people. It's not just the blatant evil all around us, like those newspaper articles revealed. No, for us, it's more the subtle, the sneaky, the seemingly no big deal evil around us. And this sneaky evil is affecting each of us. This evil attempts, and it does, tempt Christian people, tempts you and tempts me and tempts others around us to live like unbelievers all around us. We are seduced by this sneaky evil to abandon godly truths for the lies of this world. And the devil, he's rejoicing. Oh, it's no big deal that faithful worship for our family isn't our priority. Our calendars are so full, even on Sundays. Oh, we can't take time for family prayer. I hardly have time now to drive the kids to all the activities I signed them up for. Oh, I just have to work more hours away from home. I just have to work more hours to make more money to buy things for my family that everybody else around seems to have. Christian people are being seduced by this world. And we wonder why our families aren't what they should be. We wonder why the faith is not being passed down to the next generation. It's not safe here, and we who should know better have been seduced by the lies of this world. And we're seeing the consequences. Today, we see our need to repent. In Bible class this morning, we were talking about how common it is for church people to do this. Oh, I know people like that. I have neighbors who are like that. Pointing our finger at someone else, forgetting when we point one finger at somebody else, we have three coming right back to our own hearts. We need to repent. I need to repent. We all need to repent. And so we pray the prayer of Revelation 22:20. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, please, and save us from this mess. The second reason we repent is because we want to come home. We want to be in God's presence in heaven. There's an old children's song By the way, a delight sometimes is to find a copy of a children's hymnal. There's so many wonderful songs. Here's one I found. The song goes like this. Heaven is a wonderful place, full of glory and grace. I just want to see my Savior's face, because heaven is such a wonderful place. Why is it so wonderful? Is it because it will be a home more beautiful beyond our wildest imagination? That's part of the reason, but not the main one. What makes a home, is the people who live there. Now, somebody may have a house that's bigger or newer or nicer than mine, but I wouldn't call that my home. Home is where the most important people I know and love are. And heaven is home because Jesus is there. Heaven is being filled to the brim with peace, contentment, and joy of being in Almighty God's presence. Heaven is our eternal home. Because Christian loved ones who have gone before us are there welcoming us home. We want Jesus to come back because we're not home yet. As the old hymn says, I am but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. We're not really home. We're not with those all that we love. We're not enjoying the full personal face-to-face presence of Almighty God. Oh, we're on our way. But we're not there yet. There's a built-in homesickness in each of us. Now, that's what last Sunday's sermon was all about, if you remember. Homesick for heaven. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, puts it this way. God has placed eternity in our hearts. So we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But he hasn't. He hasn't answered that prayer yet. We are still here, and he has not come back. But we are still on the way home. So Jesus makes us an offer. He makes us an offer while we're on this journey in life. He invites us to come to him right now. In chapter 7, in verse 17 of Revelation that was just read, here's what Jesus says. Everett read it. Jesus says, come, whoever is thirsty, come for the free gift of the water of life. Today he invites you and me and all people to come to him where he may be found and where he is there to give us to drink of the waters of life. Where is that place? It's in the midst of his people. Our home. The church. Several years ago, I was traveling out of Chicago, Illinois, trying to get home. Back where I was living, going to school at that time in St. Louis, Missouri. The day I left, a terrible ice storm hit the Chicago area. It was raining when I began the trip, but soon the highway turned to ice. The windshield wipers were soon coated, and I had to get out of the car to knock the ice off, and I could barely stand up because the road was covered with black ice. Semi-trucks were pulled over. Cars were in the ditches. I knew I could not make it home that night. But I had some relatives who didn't live too far away. I could make it there. They weren't expecting me, but I stopped anyway, and the door was opened. And when the door was open, warmth came streaming out of that door and the good smell of home-cooked food. I was welcomed in, fed a good meal, had some good laughs, given a comfortable bed. I was not where I hoped to end up that night. But it was wonderful to be in such a loving home on such a dangerous night. My friends, Jesus our Lord invites us to come and stay with our sisters and brothers in this family called the church while we're on our journey in life. Until that day when we arrive at heaven, in this family called the church, We are welcomed, given food, given a place to rest, given strength in a world that's not safe. Yes, here we are welcomed. Our dirty clothes of sin and shame are washed. We're given new clothes to wear, robes of righteousness, forgiveness of sins. Here we are fed with heavenly food, Jesus' very body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Here we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are fed with His glorious food from pulpit, from Bible class. Here we are fed with God's nutritious food so that we can say no to the garbage fast food, which is the only thing this world can offer. And here in Christ's church, we are given a place to rest. Yes, we'll go back into the world. Yes, we must continue our journey. But here we are reminded that we are never alone in the journey. Here we're reminded that one day, we will truly be home. And our Lord Himself, when He opens heaven's door to us, will wipe every tear from our eye. When my son Christopher and daughter Abigail were 5 and 2 years old, they were often very sad in the mornings when I left them to go to my church office in Seattle. They'd almost break my heart when they stood at the front door, the glass door, and pressed their little faces up against the glass door with tears in their eyes, saying, "Don't go, Daddy, don't go. Come back, Daddy, come back." But the joy for us all when it was supper time, and I could see them through the same glass door, jumping up and down. "Daddy's home! Daddy's back! Daddy will play ball with us now! Oh, Daddy has come back." And so we pray today, "Come, Lord Jesus, come back quickly. You died for us. You paid for our sins. You rose to give us the everlasting life. Now, Lord Jesus, we pray the last prayer of the entire Holy Bible. Come, Lord Jesus, please come." One day soon, He will. And we will celebrate, no longer with our faces streaked with tears, no longer with our faces pressed up against a glass door, but until that day, we come where He promises to meet us in His church. Here He will strengthen us for the homeward journey. And until that day, we will pray with all faith, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Would you say it with me? "Come, Lord Jesus, come." In the name of Jesus. Amen.